Chapter 12. Bhajia. James Holden came too late. Along with everyone else in the colony, Bhajia watched the drive plume of the Rocinante light the sky of Illus. For him, maybe, it was already too late. He'd made the bombs that destroyed the RCE shuttle and killed the UN governor. He'd been there when Coop and the others murdered the RCE security team. And maybe there was no coming back from that. Maybe he was already a dead man, or a man destined for life in prison. The same thing, really. But looking up the line of white fire in the sky, he couldn't help but feel a spark of hope. Jim Holden had saved the Ganymede children. Too late for Katoa, but he'd saved the others. He'd brought down the evil corporation that had killed Bhajia's little boy. Neither Mal Kwiatkowski nor Protogen existed anymore because of Holden. And while Bhajia had never met the man in person, he'd watched him on video casts and read about him in news feeds. It created a strange sense of intimacy to watch the man who'd avenged Katoa on screen, talking and smiling. And that man was coming to Illus. Perhaps he could save Bhajia too. So when the bright line in the sky vanished and Bhajia knew Holden and his crew were in orbit, he let himself feel a swell of hope, the first he'd felt in a long time. And when he heard the thunderclap of a descending shuttle, he ran outside just like all the other colonists, watching to see where it would land. "The UN mediator is coming," they shouted to each other. "The man who saved Earth," they meant. "The man who saved Ganymede, the man who will save us." A small shuttle dropped out of the sky and settled on the hard-packed earth to the south of the first landing, and half the town's population ran to meet it. Bhajia ran too. The shuttle sat on 5 squat legs, ticking with heat. The town waited in silence, too excited to talk. Then a ramp lowered to the ground, and a squat earther with gray hair and a deeply lined face walked down it. It wasn't Holden. One of his crew, maybe? But the man was wearing armor with the RCE logo on it, and Holden was supposed to be an impartial mediator. The man stopped halfway down the ramp and smiled a humorless smile at them. Bhajia realized he was holding his breath, then realized everyone else was too.
"Hello," the man said. "My name is Adolphus Murtry. I am Chief of Security for Royal Charter Energy."
Was it another RCE ship they'd seen breaking into orbit? The man walked down the ramp, still smiling that predator's smile, and as one, the crowd backed away. Bhajia backed up with them.
"Because of the attack on the shuttle that claimed the lives of many RCE employees and UN officials, I am taking direct control of security on this world. If that sounds like martial law, that's because it is."
Murtry whistled, and 10 more people in security armor descended the ramp. They carried automatic weapons and slug-throwing sidearms, not a non-lethal deterrent in sight.
"Please be aware," Murtry continued, "that because of the attack on the first security team, no one proved they were attacked,"
someone shouted from the crowd. Coop. It was Coop, standing at the back with his arms crossed and a smug smile on his face.
"Because of that attack," Murtry continued, "I have given my people shoot first authorization. They may, if they feel threatened, utilize lethal force to defuse the threat."
Carol pushed through the crowd to confront Murtry at the bottom of the ramp, and Coop followed her.
"You're not the government here," Carol said, anger making the tendons in her neck stand out.
Her hands were in fists, but she kept them at her sides.
"You can't just land here with a bunch of guns and tell us you have the right to shoot us. This is our world."
"That's right,"
Coop yelled, and turned to face the crowd, inviting them to join in.
"No,"
Murtry said, his smile not changing. "It is not."
The air was split with thunder as another ship dropped into the atmosphere and landed on the western side of town. Murtry barely glanced up at it. More troops dropping in, Baja thought. Murtry began walking toward town, his people trailing out behind him, and the crowd moving in a loose cloud around them. Carol kept talking, but her words had no effect. Murtry just smiled and nodded and didn't break stride. The ship that had landed on the other side of town blasted off on a column of white vapor and vanished from sight. The roar of its engines filled the world. When they reached the center of town, Baja saw Jacek hanging around the edge of the crowd. He grabbed his son by the arm, pulling him harder than he intended, and the boy gave a frightened squeak. "Papa," he said as Baja dragged him away, "am I in trouble?" "Yes," Baja shouted. Then when he saw tears welling up in the boy's eyes, stopped and dropped to his knees next to him. "No, no, son, you're not. But I need you to go home." "But," Jacek started, "no buts, boy." Baja gave him a gentle shove toward their house. "Go home." "Is that man going to kill us?" Jacek asked. "What man?" Baja asked. But it was a delaying tactic. He knew what man. Even his little boy could smell the death coming off of Murtry and his people. "No one's going to kill us. Go home." Baja watched Jacek walk home, waiting until he saw the boy go inside and close the door. Baja was just starting to walk back toward the crowd when the shot rang out. His first thought was, Jacek was right. They are killing us. Not us, though, once he got back to the crowd. Just Coop, lying in the dust with a red hole where his eye should be, blood pooling under his head. And Holden, jaw clenched and eyes wide. Too late, Baja thought. Too late again. People with machine guns walked the streets of First Landing. Baja and Lucia sat on their tiny front porch and watched them pass by in the fading sunlight of early evening. A man and a woman, both in body armor with the red and blue RCE company logo on it, both carrying automatic weapons, both with hard expressions on their faces. "I did this," Baja said. Lucia squeezed his hand. "Drink your tea, Baj." Baja looked down at the cup of tea cooling on his lap. All the tea the little colony might ever have had come down on the shuttles with them. To waste such a luxury was unthinkable. He sipped at the lukewarm cup and didn't taste it.
"They'll kill me next."
"Maybe. Or put me in jail forever, take me away from my family." "You," Lucia said, "took yourself away when you joined with those stupid, violent people who blew up the shuttle. You drove them out to the ruins when they killed the RCE people. You made every choice that took you to this place. I love you, Baja Merton. I love you till my chest aches, but you are a stupid, stupid man. And when they take you away from me, I will not forgive you for it." "You're a harsh woman." "I'm a doctor," Lucia said. "I'm used to giving people bad news." Baja drank off the rest of his tea before it could finish getting cold. "I could get some rope or chain from the dig site. Maybe hang a bench here. Then we could rock while we sit." "That might be nice," Lucia said. The pair of RCE guards reached the end of the street and turned around to come back. With the sun about to dip below the horizon, their shadows were almost as long as the town itself. "We've been focusing on lithium mining to get money," Baja continued, "but we need to start thinking about our own energy needs." "This is true? We can't have the bar bringing us power cells forever. And someday the ship will fly back to Pallas to sell the ore, so we won't have her for a couple years." "Also true," Lucia said. She swirled the last of her tea and stared up at the stars. "I miss having Jupiter in the sky." It was beautiful, Baja agreed. I have to go meet with Kate and the others tonight, after it gets dark. Baj, Lucia started, then just stopped with a sad sigh. They'll want revenge for Coop. It will only make it worse. What, Lucia said, does worse look like, I wonder? Baja sat quietly, thinking of the rocker he could build on their porch, of adding a bigger water heater for hot baths, of building a larger kitchen and dining area on the back of the house, of all the things he wouldn't get to do now. The guards were at the end of the town's long street, almost invisible in their dark armor and the fading light. Baja got up to leave. Can you stop them from killing anyone else? Lucia asked, as though she were asking if he wanted more tea. Yes, Baja replied. It felt like a lie. Then go. They met at Kate's house. Pete and Scotty and Ibrahim. Even Zadie came, her wife Amanda staying home to look after their boy and his infected eye. That wasn't a good sign. Of all of them, Zadie was the angriest, the one with the hottest head. Baja had worked with her on Ganymede, and more than once she'd shown up in the morning with a black eye or a busted lip from some bar fight she'd picked the night before. They were all upset, all standing on the ledge about to jump, but Zadie would be the hardest to talk off of it. They shot Coop, Kate said when Scotty, the last of them to arrive, finally came in. It wasn't a statement of fact. They'd all been there. They'd all seen it. No, it was the beginning of a justification. In cold blood, Zadie said, and punctuated it with a fist to her palm. We all saw it. Just shot him in the face in front of God and everyone. So I have a plan, Kate continued. The RCE people are holed up in... Who put you in charge? Zadie asked. Murtry did. Zadie narrowed her eyes but let it drop. Baja fidgeted on one end of Kate's couch. It was a handmade frame, covered with padding stripped from the ship and badly stitched remnants of the cloth they had the fabricator crank out once a month for clothing and other needs. Kate had made a small table out of the local wood analog to sit next to it. It wasn't quite level, and Baja's glass of water was at a noticeable tilt. Pictures of Kate's family, two sisters who still lived back in the belt and their kids, hung on the walls. There was a pottery vase on the floor, with sticks and branches in it that Baja thought was meant as decoration, not kindling. It was too domestic a location for the kind of meeting they were having. It all felt unreal. That he and five people he knew were discussing the murder of a dozen corporate security guards in Kate's living room, next to her vase full of sticks. Scotty was talking, telling them to wait. Not the voice of reason, the voice of fear. Pete was on his side, arguing against escalating. Kate and Zadie shouted them down. Ibrahim said nothing, just pulled on his bottom lip and frowned at the floor. I think we wait for Holden, Baja said when there was a pause in the conversation. Holden's been here a day. What are we waiting for? Kate asked, dripping angry sarcasm. He needs time to meet with us. Get the lay of the land, Baja said, the words sounding feeble even in his own ears. But he's the mediator, and he can talk directly to the OPA governing board and to the UN. His recommendations will have real weight. We need him on our side. The OPA, Zadie spat, the UN. What exactly are they going to do for us? Send a tersely worded letter? Murtry and his thugs are right there. Zadie stabbed her fingers at the wall, at the street beyond, at the guards with machine guns. How many of our people do they get to kill before we defend ourselves? We killed them first, Baja said. Then regretted it immediately. Everyone started shouting, mostly at him. Baja stood up. He knew he was an imposing figure, stocky and thick-necked, bigger than anyone else in the room. He stepped forward, a physical challenge. He hoped his size would be enough. He was fairly certain Kate could beat him to death if she decided to. Shut up! They did. We have a chance here, he continued, quieting his voice with an effort. But it's so fragile. We killed the RCE people. I wasn't, Zadie started, but Baja hushed her with a gesture. They killed Coop. Right now, they feel like they've made a point, so they won't kill anyone else unless we provoke them. So right now, we are at a balance. If no one does anything to tip it one way or another, Holden can do what they sent him here to do. He can help us resolve this without more violence. Kate snorted and looked away, but Baja ignored her. I'm in this with you. I have just as much to lose as any of you. But we want this man on our side. He saw Murtry murder one of us. He's never seen us do anything. We have the advantage of seeming like the victims right now. Let's not change his mind on that. There was a long moment while Baja stood in the middle of the room, panting with emotion, and no one spoke. Okay, Ibrahim said. He'd been a soldier once. The others respected him. When he finally spoke, it was with a tone of authority. Kate frowned but said nothing. Okay? Okay, big man, Ibrahim said. We play it your way for now. Go talk to this Holden. Get him on our side. He's the one found your boy, Sasa. Use that. Baja felt a rush of anger and shame at the mention of Katoa, of using him as an in with Holden, but he pushed it down. Ibrahim was right. It would give Baja something to talk to Holden about, and it would make him seem sympathetic. I'll talk to him tomorrow, Baja said, swallowing the sudden nausea he felt. It's on you now, big man, Ibrahim said. It sounded like a threat. Baja walked home in the pitch black of the illest night. He wished he'd thought to bring a light. He wished he'd never blown up a shuttle full of people and helped Coop murder the RCE guards. He wished his wife wasn't angry with him, and that she wasn't right. He wished that Katoa were still alive and that they all still lived in their home on Ganymede, and that no one had ever come to Illis in the first place. He tripped on a rock and fell to his knee, skinning it. No way to fix the other things, but at least he could have thought to bring a light. Lucia had left a light on in the house. Without it, Baja might have walked right past it without realizing. At least she wanted him to come home. She left lights on to make it happen. For the first time in a long time, Baja felt himself smile. A shadowy figure darted through the dim light around the house to the back door. Before he had time to think, Baja was at a dead run. The figure at the door cowered, smaller than him and terrified. Felcia. Papa, you scared me. Oh, baby, I'm so sorry. I didn't see it was you. Just saw someone sneaking around the house and came running. Felcia smiled up at him, eyes damp and lip trembling, but being brave. Okay, going in now. Felcia, Baja said, putting his hand against the door to hold it closed. Why are you sneaking up to the house in the middle of the night? I was out, walking. She looked away, not able to meet his eyes. Please, baby, tell me it was a boy. It was a boy, she said, still not looking at him. Felcia. I'm going up on the next shuttle, Papa, she said, looking him in the eye finally. I'm going up. When James Holden gets them to let the Barbapiccola go, I'm going with it. From Palace, I can catch transport to Ceres. Mama is calling her old mentor at CUMA to give me an interview for the pre-med program at the Hadrian on Luna. Baja felt like someone had punched him in the solar plexus. The pain in his stomach kept him from breathing. I'm going, Papa. No, he said. You're not.